It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Bellevue and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with Mark Holland, the Sound Mind broadcast with Daniel Pryor, this week looking at an interesting subject. For those of you who have teenagers in your life, listen up. We are looking at the unique challenges for parents of teenagers. Got Daniel Pryor, the man who sees parents with teenagers. Sometimes you say they just send in the teenager.
Right.
So you have a lot of experience in helping these challenges that parents face. Parents do seem to have it more difficult than ever with the challenges of teenagers.
That's right. In our society today, there are just a whole bunch of new issues and old issues that are just seem just more difficult than ever before. You know, the reasons for concern, and the reason that a lot of the parents are concerned, that we recognize that we're really in a cultural free fall here. We experience now the disintegration of a lot of very critical structures, like the family structure through divorce and just changing roles within the house, and parents busy working to have a particular lifestyle.
It requires both people. Very seldom is there a mom at home.
Yeah. The disintegration of the education system, you know, just so many things being rewritten and redefined. The judicial system, there's been a decay there. And also just our moral structures are just disintegrating. And all those things present just huge issues for teenagers and parents. And also this whole thing of like the technological and virtual replacing personal and fundamental realities, you know, where I saw on a clip the other day where there was an interview of college students on college campuses, and nobody that was interviewed knew who won the Civil War or who the vice president was, but they could tell you the current wife and previous wives of a number of Hollywood stars.
Right.
So there's this kind of replacement of reality, and teenagers caught up in that, and really needing guidance. And then so there are things to be alarmed for. And then a lot of times, though, parents bring kids in this kind of cultural free fall, and they present issues that really are pretty normal for teens. So it's got to be kind of wise and careful about what you're actually trying to address. Is it something that is a pretty normal part of the kids'
life? Well, why don't you enumerate a few things that are normal? Mm-hmm. Teenagers have always been kind of trying to find out who they are.
Yeah.
It is natural for them to maybe want to start pulling away from parents and finding out what they themselves believe.
Yeah.
That's normal. That's always been there. And we shouldn't be too threatened by that.
Pulling away and isolating, and this came up just this week in a session, and I was reminded and used the personal illustration. But there was a family that was concerned about the son wanting to just spend time in his bedroom, teenage son, and I was recalling when our daughter was in her teen years, and I was because of my work schedule, and I think I was through school, but because of my work schedule, I was home a lot during the day when she was home. So it would just be the two of us, and she'd go into her bedroom and close the door. And she had a little sign on the door, knock. And I couldn't help but take that personally because I'm the only other one in the house. And so it was almost like, you know, you stay out and you knock, Dad, you know. And I'd be moping around the house and thinking, you know, what have I done wrong? And so I finally kind of addressed this with her, you know, why are you have to come up here? And so she was saying, well, I just want to be around my things. And I stopped to think about it. And first of all, I realized that I used to do that as a kid too. For some reason, I just want to hole up in my room.
Yeah,
but then I started thinking, you know, as the parent of the house, this whole house is my stuff. I don't have to go into a room to be around my stuff. I mean, it belongs to my daughter too, but she doesn't see it that way. She doesn't she doesn't experience it as her personal stuff. And I can see, just like I feel comfortable in my house as opposed to a hotel room, or, you know, I like to be around my things and in my space. And so she wanted to be in around her things and in her space. And the only place in the house that she felt she could really do that was the bedroom. And in sharing that with this couple that was talking about their son, they could see how that made perfect sense. He's not a wild guy. He just wants to go into his room and be surrounded with his stuff. So there's a place for that.
There is a place for
that.
And
there's not, and that's not something that parents need to panic about. At the same time, I should be able to tap on the door and say, "Hey, sweetheart, is everything okay?" Now, I would do this with her, my daughter. I'd tap on the door and she would say, "What?" Something
right,
like that.
Right.
So I have to, I hear that and I say, okay, I know what that's about. She's around her stuff and I, you know, and she doesn't want to be, and I would just say, just want to stick my head in the door if I can and say hi and everything's okay. Yeah, yeah, fine, you know, and then hurry up and get out. So we have to be careful not to take that personal. That's right. Not a huge warning. You know,
to some degree, that's always been going on.
Mm-hmm.
It has been accelerated though now, because you mentioned this earlier in the show. The technological thing, mm-hmm. where kids are becoming more and more, they are creating mm-hmm. their own virtual world with the computer and the internet, mm-hmm. To the point where they start being raised like this and allowing to get into that. And then when they're young adults, mm-hmm. they never leave the room. I know of a family where a young gal never leaves the room. They almost have to like put the food under the mm-hmm. door, mm-hmm. you know, because mm-hmm. she never comes out of there. And it doesn't have any friends. And obviously that's gone too far. I would think that that's definitely a unique challenge for today's parents.
It is. And one of the things that I find, not always, but quite often, is that when parents ourselves, this, you know, the trend that our children are in is not just their generation. It's an extension of our generation.
Mm.
And so we were like the first, you know, we've gotten less friendly. You know, I look at myself, very fortunate to have friends, but I know of a lot of people. In fact, I would say that almost a common thread in people that come in with chronic issues of anxiety and depression are lack of friendships.
Mm-hmm.
And so when the parents have lack of friendships, not only are they very more frustrated over the kids' lack of friendships, but they don't know what to do about it, because they, in their own lives, they haven't been able to solve this. And so, you know, as parents, we all always have to remember that we're leading by example. And so as difficult as it might be for a parent to, you know, sit down and say, well, you know, where are my friends and how can I develop friends, and then figure out how to do that and get on a track to develop friends, as difficult as that might be, it's important to recognize that that's the same thing we're requiring of the child to do. And so we have to kind of model that so that we can, you know, be an example of it and also explain the process. So, yeah, things can happen in that room that we don't, that bedroom, that private space, that can be unhealthy and detrimental.
So what should the parent do? They should insist on some changes, as far as you will not spend so much time on the internet. I mean, while you're living in my home, is that okay for a parent to put down the law a little bit in some of those things?
Yeah, one of the ways I like to approach it, and the reason we do, you know, a lot of people might hear me say this and say, well, you know, you're just enabling the kids and you know, you're just being a weak parent, you know, stand your ground like your parents did. But parenting has changed because our society has changed and family has changed. So we need to change our tactics a bit and in order to bring these things off correctly. But one of the things that I encourage parents to do is, if you have a teenager, and this is teenagers, not adolescents or younger, but if you have a teenager, what you want to do is help them to see in their own life how something that they're doing is not particularly healthy. I had a situation where a teenager was, you know, just spending a lot of time on the internet, and the parents were saying, no, don't want you to do that. But they couldn't really point out a problem in it for the son. And so one way to approach it, as I was talking to him, was saying, getting him to say, to realize not what's wrong with what I'm doing, but what's profitable about it? How does it profit? And if the answer is I can't think of any way that it's profiting, then I should think of something to do that does profit. Or I'll have kids say, you know, how am I spending my time? I'm spending my time a lot with this game that I'm playing. Okay, I want you to write down what's beneficial about the game, what's not beneficial about the game, what's detrimental about the game. So let's talk about those. So they might say things like, it gives me something to do. Okay, is that really a benefit because you can find other things to do? Well, no, but we might actually find some things that are beneficial about this particular activity. For example, a lot of the games stimulate eye-to-hand coordination, those kinds of things. So there's a benefit. Okay, now does the benefit justify 4 hours a day? No. Does it justify an hour a day? Possibly. Okay, so let's put that on the plus side. There's a benefit to the game. Now, so we have something that, now let's talk about what's detrimental to the game. Mm. Takes me away from my studies. Takes me away from the family. Keeps me in when I could be out on a nice day. Okay, so there are enough things to warrant your monitoring of your use of this, and maybe your parents can help you do that. Mm. Then we go to, what can your parents do to help you remember? And so the idea is, of course, to bring the teenager in on, because this is his life or her life, so let's bring them in on helping to structure it and see
that. So they can buy in.
Yeah.
And they can
see that. Yeah, they kind of own the process.
Do you think that this technology is creating more introverted children than before?
I think so, definitely. Definitely.
Because to a degree, introversion, extroversion is something you're kind of born into. But I would think that all this technology really enables the introverts to become even more so. Even as a kid that would normally be more of an extrovert become more introverted.
Yeah. I mean, we turn back the clock. We see how that even in my generation, we didn't have these things. And we just, if the sun was up, we went out and found something to do and found ways to be interested and found things to, you know, I was talking to somebody the other day who we were involved in these Pinewood derbies and these coaster, I forget what they called them, but they did it down here in Seattle for a while by the Woodland Park Zoo, where they had a track there where they raced these coaster cars. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you could build these things. Or if you didn't put the money into that, you could just build your own out of 2x4s and wagon wheels or things. But we found things to do outside, and then they took us into relationship with other kids.
So I would think anything that encourages getting out of teamwork, something. Mm-hmm. I mean, because not all kids are athletic. That was, for me personally, I was not particularly athletic, but then I found that I was into art, and I couldn't just do art on my own. I had to go to an artist class and be with other people. And so even kids that are more introverted and artistic or whatever, or sensitive that way, they can still be encouraged to be involved with other people.
Yeah, they can. And I think, again, I think it's important that the parents are, you know, leading by example. You know, if the parents are very timid and kind of tend to withdraw in social situations, you can't really, I mean, sometimes you get a wild card kid who is very social when the parents are not, but quite often they follow in the parents' footsteps. And so as the parent, if you want them to go a certain direction, you sort of have to blaze the trail for them.
Yeah. Well, some unique challenges for parents of teenagers in these times. If you have a teenager in your life, a parent or grandparent, you'd like to maybe get some help, maybe bring them in. You see that. You see parents with their teens a lot of times. Sometimes they'll send just the teen themselves
sometimes
to you.
Will send. Yeah. We'll comment on the success of counseling here in our next section.
If people want to get in touch with you, Daniel, how do they do that?
Yeah, that's phone number is 425-778-6169. And we can be reached through email at the BibleBasedCounselor.com website, where also are the podcasts for these shows.
And you have offices in Bellevue and Edmonds.
Correct.
We'll be back with more of the Sound Mind broadcast with Daniel Pryor here in just a moment.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor with an encouraging word for struggling marriages. You know, it's never too late to do the right thing if a husband and wife will fully commit to one another and apply a few biblically based fundamentals of intimate relationship. As a marriage counselor, I teach these fundamentals and their use. To learn more about how these might help your marriage, contact me through my website at BibleBasedCounselor.com or call me at 425-778-6169.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Mark Holland along as well with Daniel today, looking at the subject of the challenges for parents of teenagers in these times. And just before the break, we were, you deposited the idea, does counseling even work mm-hmm. with teenagers?
And it works. Yeah, it works differently.
Works differently.
With different kids. You know, was mentioning that if, for example, if you have a teenager who has a problem with authority figures, then counseling can maybe go sideways. Mm. Because
now, how would that work?
Well, because a lot of times the young person will do is that the counselor, if the counselor isn't really on it, will become an ally. And we'll just be one.
We'll be
an authority figure. We'll represent an authority figure that the child has flamboozled, and then they'll be use that against the parent. The other alternative, though, is if the counselor stands up to the child, the young person, then the young person won't want to come into counseling. So they're sort of caught between a rock and a hard place. And a lot of times, if that happens, what I'll try to do if I get like a strong child like that is I'll try to reason with him or her in a couple of sessions. You know, I always want to side with the parent. I'm convinced that young people want their parents to be right, and they want their parents to be the heroes, even though they fight against that.
Do,
you know,
but,
they're trying to.
That is what they're looking for.
Yeah, they really want the parents to be
the heroes. I think they're looking for that in all areas of society, and that's what's kind of fallen down. I mean, I can remember there was so much more structure and authority in school. I mean, not to say that corporal punishment is necessarily right, but if you were dinking around too much in class, you got a SWAT.
Yeah.
You know, I mean... You can't even imagine that happening today.
Yeah,
but I mean, things like this where kids really knew who was in charge. Mm-hmm. Now today, they kind of feel like they're in charge, and if you treat me bad, I'm going to sue you.
Yeah,
you know. So all of the authority has kind of wilted back.
That's true, and I think that the reality of human nature is that the reason we do things right is because there are consequences for doing things wrong. And when you take away the consequences, you can't then expect people to just out of their own wisdom do things right. Yeah. So now, counseling, sometimes it works really, really well, particularly with kids, young people who don't particularly have a problem with authority figures, and they tend to be able to sit in there for lots of sessions and glean a lot. And I've even had young people that go home and tell their family members what they learned in counseling and actually practice these things. A gal mother the other day was saying I had talked to her son a couple years previous and had just reminded him. He was going out the door one day, and I just said, don't forget to tell your mom that you love her. And she said, ever since then, every day, he's always come and said, I love you, Mom. You know, and so there are counseling sometimes is a great thing, but it tends a lot of times parents bring kids in as the last resort.
Right.
And really that's, you know,
here you
maybe
deal
some,
with
something is better, maybe better than nothing. But realistically, if kids are not listening to authority figures, they're certainly not going to listen to yet one more authority figure. However, a lot of times the counselor can just make enough of an input. And what I like to do in those situations is work with those kids and the parents. And so that the kids understand and they can hear the parents in the session. And sometimes, you know, I'm instructing the parents too, but they can hear the parents as part of the process. And that seems to be more beneficial. So it can be beneficial, but I would season that with just by saying we have to be realistic about what we expect kids to do in counseling. And a lot of times I'll tell parents that I expect that, based on experience, if a young person comes in that doesn't particularly want to be in counseling, I think that if I see that young person maybe a half a dozen times, that's probably pretty good. And I tell parents too, don't be too discouraged if you tell your young teenager we're going to go to counseling and they actually come. You actually maybe have more power in that child's life than you realize. And so a lot of times in counseling, we can point that out to the parent and say, you know, use that authority. The child is obviously giving you some permission to guide the process. So recognize that and use it. So counseling does help, but you have to be realistic about, you know, what you expect the outcome to be. There's nothing magical.
Mm-hmm. You say here too, parenting has changed as society has evolved. And you're not imagining thing, parents. It is more demanding than it used to be.
It is more demanding, yeah. We have to, as parents with our young people now, one of the things that changes, we have to be more understanding about where they are at. I think we got away with generations before saying, just do it because I said, but we really cannot do that anymore. We're challenged on so many sides in all these areas that we've talked about, education, morality. You know, your kids go to school and they face, you know, a really popular thing right now to do is change gender. Used to be smoke, you know, behind the gym, but now it's, you know, become a girl when you're a boy or become a boy when you're a girl. Very faddish. And now, so we have to understand where they're at and also empathize. And here's the thing about empathy. We sit down with the child and we contemplate their behavior until it makes perfect sense. Now, I think about the child and I think about where he or she is. And I think about their behavior until it makes perfect sense, which is not to say that it's correct, and which is not to say that it doesn't have to be changed and that I don't have to set a boundary and that don't have to be consequences. But it's to say that I understand why you're doing that. It's not correct. It needs to change. There are going to be consequences, but I understand. And that means so much to kids because now you're in their world and you're not kind of outside looking in.
Well, for Christian families, this is a whole other dimension. Society more than ever is attacking faith and people of faith and faith explanations for everything from creation to, like you say, the gender issues and things like this. So this is a time for parents, Christian parents, it's more demanding than ever to make sure that their children, as they launch, will even stay with the faith.
Yeah. You have to know more today, I think. Maybe we always should have known these things, and that's why we are where we are now, because we didn't. But now we sure have to learn these things. So parents, at the website, for example, the whole gay gender thing, at my website, ChristianCounselorsForum.com, I repeat that, ChristianCounselorsForum.com, there are articles there in the archives, link off onto the side. If you click the archives, there will be a document there that is a list of resources, books, website locations for parents who whose teens are struggling with this or wondering about it, and the truth about you know, the whole gay thing, and because I think parents have to be informed and kind of head this thing off. The other thing is, just being informed about questions of, as you say, faith.
Society used to support faith and Christian values. Yeah. It openly challenges all of them now.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. And we can't leave the teaching of faith up to the Sunday school teacher or the pastor. I mean, I'm sure they're doing a great job. But what I've seen over and over again is if the parents don't live their faith as though it's really their life source, then the child has a confused message, and it's only important at church. And then you'll see them have a tendency to stray away. So parents have to be informed. They have to you know, model their faith, walking it out. It has to be meaningful to the parent. One last thing I was going to talk about was communication. So important to continue to communicate with the teenager, stay in touch. But a lot of times the communication is almost, I heard in the store the other day, a mother that was there with several young children, and these kids weren't even teenagers, and the mother was standing there explaining to them about her busy day. Oh, I've got to do this, and then I've got to run down and do this, and then of course, you know, that's always a hassle for me because, you know, and she's talking to these little children as though they're adults. And for parents to communicate to the kids, the kids don't want you to be a little child. They want you to be the strong person in the relationship. So, you know, you have to maintain some boundaries. If you don't have enough adult friends, then you should get some. And your kids should not be your adult friends. You want to communicate with your kids, but you've got to maintain your place of authority and leadership.
Right.
And so sometimes that can take, you know, some practice and some thinking through. But
I would think that would be more problem with single parents, too. They tend to maybe,
and there's a
single
lot,
moms.
And,
yeah.
Yeah, and there's a lot of that these days. You know?
So really guard against that. Well, it is not easy being a parent, and particularly a parent of a teenager in today's society. If people need some help, some coaching in this area, maybe they do have a teenager they would like to have have some sessions with you. How do they get in touch with you, Daniel?
My phone number is 425-778-6169. That's 425-778-6169. I can be emailed through the website, BibleBasedCounselor.com.
And all of your broadcasts are on podcast there at your website again, BibleBasedCounselor.com. Always great information here with Daniel Pryor on the Sound Mind broadcast on KCIS.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Bellevue and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.